I remember a long time ago, Daddy was sharing that God really loved them. Because when they were about to get married, something could have happened that could have derailed that wedding day. If you know the nation of Nigeria very well, in the history of that nation, every coup d'etat that ever happened, happened on a Friday. But because of them, they didn't know. But because God had already ordained the day, he made sure that it happened the day after they got married. So that that day can be held. And 34 years on, look at what the God, look at what our God has done. Congratulations, Daddy and Mommy, again. God bless you, sir. God bless you, man. And for our young ones who are looking for that, when will my own day come? Just continue to trust the Lord. Continue to trust him. Look unto him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. It may not look like it now, but hang on to him. Because faith is he who has called, who also will do it. This morning, I'm overjoyed. And left to me, I feel like just singing and dancing. Because I reflect, and it's always good to reflect, because at times we can take some things for granted. This time last year, we were not here. We were firmly in our previous location. The word had been declared, but nothing was happening. But one thing we did not fail to do, we were not calling our situations the way they were. We were declaring and decreeing what we wanted to see. The money was not there. Everything was not lining up. It was looking difficult. And if you remember at that time, the interest rate was particularly high. Things were not, it was post-COVID. Everybody was hostile. Everybody was in a very, panicky and sort of cagey mode. But our God came through. And here we are in that campus that we dreamed of. We spoke about, we prophesied about, we decreed about. I remember even when we saw the picture, when we were in the other place, it was a picture of this place. It was like, are we going to get into it? And it was looking too fantastic. Are you going to step on it? But now we're here, alive, in that dream. So if God could have done it concerning the campus, what is it concerning your life that you think he cannot do? Don't buy into the narrative of the enemy. It may not look like it now, but hold on to that word. Begin to declare it. I believe, therefore I spoke. So because you believe this morning, don't stop speaking. Don't stop speaking. It may not look like it. Keep declaring it, because eventually our lives will follow our declaration. So don't say anything negative. Don't say anything that is contrary. What you want to see, continue to declare it. And at the end of the day, the same way we celebrated dedication of this building, 26th of November, 2023. We will celebrate with you too in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name. We worship you for your good and your mercies endures forever. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for you are the God that does not change. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for you have counted us worthy to be called your own. For you made him who knew no sin become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, O God. Thank you, Father, for today. Even as we look at your word this morning, we ask that you open our eyes to see. Open our hearts, O God. Let your word transform our lives. Let it take us from where we are to where we are supposed to be. Lord, I yield my faculties to you this morning. Let me speak as an oracle this morning. I will not speak as an orator, O God. I will speak the words you have put in my mouth, O God. Let it please you this morning that I will speak and I will communicate in the language of everyone that will hear me this morning. Take all glory, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Psalm 23. You will wonder, why Psalm 23? I've been reading that since I was a baby. I could recite it front to back. I could recite it in many languages. But just wait. Psalm 23. That will be our anchor scripture this morning. And I've titled this exhortation, Lessons from Psalm 23. Lessons from Psalm 23. I know if I ask almost all of us to stand up and recite, you'll do it without any qualms at all this morning. But just bear with me for a moment. Let's read from verse 1. New King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Having read those verses, let's begin to dissect them one by one. Verse 1. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The first thing I want us to pay attention to there is that he says, the Lord. He didn't say a Lord. The Lord. T-H is definite article. It is clear. It is sacrosanct. The Lord. So it's not just any other Lord. In England, they have Lord this, Lord that. In some society, they have that. But he's saying here, the Lord. My question to us this morning is this. Is it the Lord to you or a Lord? Is it the Lord? If he is the Lord, then he calls the shot. And he went further and said, he is my shepherd. The very moment you mention the word shepherd, that means there's something that you could note. There cannot be a shepherd without a sheep. So if he is the shepherd, that means there must be a sheep. The question is, are we his sheep? Is he the shepherd? Because the shepherd is the one that directs the sheep. The shepherd is the one that controls the course. So if we are not his sheep, he can't be the shepherd. Is he the one really directing the affairs in our lives? Is he truly the shepherd? Or is he a shepherd? Or is he just the shepherd when things are difficult? Or when there's a testimony that, oh, that God is good? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Without the sheep, there can't be a shepherd. Without the sheep, there can't be a shepherd. The question is, are you a sheep this morning? Have you given him the direction? Have you given the opportunity to be your shepherd this morning? Or you are not a sheep? You are doing it your own way. Are you doing it the way you want? And I want us to look at Psalms chapter 8, verse 4 to 6. Psalms chapter 8, verse 4 to 6. In the New Living Translation, if we can. If he's going to be our shepherd, like I said, we must be the sheep. But the question is this. Why does he want to be our shepherd? Because he cares so much about us. Do we have Psalm 8 for us? 4 to 6. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. You have made him only a little lower than God. And crowned them with glory and honor. Another translation says, what is mine that thou art mindful of him? God's mind is full of us. That's why he wants to be our shepherd. He wants to ensure that we get it right. But you can, unless you give him that opportunity to be the shepherd, by being the sheep, that ecosystem will not work. That civilization will be incongruous. It will not work. We need him to be the shepherd. And if he's going to be the shepherd, he has to be the shepherd, not a shepherd. When was the last time he directed your path? When was the last time God influenced your decision? When was the last time that it was the basis of that decision you made? When was the last time he changed your direction? Let's look. Verse 2. Verse 2 of that Psalm 23. This will really take it home. Verse 2 of that Psalm. You say 23 verse 2. Psalm 23 verse 2. We'll keep going back to that Psalm 23. New King James Version. He said, he makes me to lie down. Where? He makes me to lie down in green pasture. I want us to consider that statement. He makes me. That means God made the psalmist lie down. When was the last time God made you lie down? And when I say lie, I don't mean lie down on the bed or sleep. No. When he makes you lie down, when you are lying down, you are in a position of vulnerability. When you are lying down, you are in a position that you think that you may be subject to attacks. But at times, if you walk long enough with God, you will come to a point, he will make you lie down. Because if he cannot make you lie down, he cannot direct you. Because we want him to lead us in the path of righteousness, but that only comes after he can make you lie down. So the psalmist's plan for that day was not to lie down. But God came and said, son, you have to lie down. The truth is, if he cannot cause you to lie down, he cannot direct you. And many a times, nobody likes to be in a vulnerable position. But if God cannot put you in a vulnerable position, then he cannot trust you in a position of authority or power. Because you must trust him enough that in that vulnerable position, he will watch over you. I will give us a living example. Sorry, Daddy, I'm going to use as an example. When God sent you to Kano in 1994, was it a position of strength, humanly speaking? No. Kano was not a palatable place. It was a dangerous place. It was not good career-wise. It was not good financial-wise. It was not good family-wise. And especially when you had options that were far better, logically speaking. But he took them to Kano. He made them lie down. They had to leave their job. They had to leave. It is easy if you are single. When you are a man in an African setting, you have a family. What will your family eat? That would be the first thing they will say. But see, God has called me. We are going. God made them to lie down. And he was in the process of that lying down in that battlefield called Kano. It was 5 years after. I said, son, because you have allowed me to make you lie down, let's go to Australia. But a lot of us want God to give us direction. A lot of us want Australia, but there is something that produces the Australia called Kano. It is the crucible. It is the fire. It is the furnace. It is the baptism by fire that leads to the next part of that particular scripture. It says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. When he makes you lie down, he's testing whether you trust him. He's testing your faith. And the truth of the matter is, if you walk long enough with him, he will make you lie down. You will want to do something, I will say no. It will go against your intellect. It will go against every projection of the stock market. It will go against every career move. It will go against everything that is plausible. It will go against everything that is smart. But God will say, lie down. Because a lot of time, we want God to direct us, but God cannot direct an entity or a vessel he does not own. And it is in your place of lying down that he will prove that thing, because God does not violate his word. God will have made every human being on planet Earth saved. But then, he's a God who operates under, he operates, his justice system is firm and clear. So, he will not do anything unless you cooperate, you yield your will to him. And if you look at the beauty of that statement, verse 2, if you go back to that verse 2, that's Psalm 23, verse 2, he said, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. The mistake a number of us make is that when he's telling us to lie down, we do not know that that place that looks like a fire or a furnace is actually a green pasture. It will look brown, humanly speaking, but when he opens the veil, you see it's actually a green pasture. A good example. If Joseph was not sold to Egypt, tell me, how will his dream come to life? The best he will have been, he will just be the big, will be a local champion. He will not go beyond his father's house. But God allowed all those adversity because he wanted to take him to the green pastures. He made me to lie down in green pastures. So you are seeing the lie down, but I've come to announce to you today that there's a green pastures in that lying down. Stay there. If you stay long, you will see the green pastures. We want green pasture, but what leads you to green pastures is called lying down. You must trust him enough to lie. This morning, in what area have you refused to lie down? Is it in your finances? Is it in your time? And let me speak to us this morning. We live in a civilization where serving God can be difficult. Not because we are bad people, but the civilization we are in is one that glorifies its capitalist system. Get all you can all you get, and sit on top of it. And our society is so, they are so smart. Sunday is the day you get double pay. And how many of us don't need money? I need money. But the question is, are you going to value God or are you going to value money? Money has wings. Something, we were doing something here yesterday. We were doing some cleaning. And we had to get rid of some things. Those things were old. But when they got those things, they were very expensive materials. Expensive piece of items. And it just struck me. No matter the things we acquire today, it's only a matter of time. It will become irrelevant sooner or later. Question: all of us who have elderly parents or whose parents are pastors, when they build those houses, it was like, this is mine, this is heaven. But now you look at those houses, you wonder, what was about this house? I'll give another example. When I was growing up then, there was a brand of Mercedes that was in town. It was called V-Boot. That car was, if you have that car, you have arrived. In the late 80s, it was nice. And the other day, I was driving somewhere in Melbourne, and I saw that car. And I just shook my head and said, wow. Imagine those who had killed, maimed, sacrificed to the idol, devil, because of that car now. They have lost. I am not saying we should not have things, but don't let things have you. It is good to be educated. It is good to have money. It is good to have friends. But don't place those things ahead of God. They have a shelf life. But when you invest in things of eternal value, your children will enjoy it, because he is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because when Jacob was running, he did not know that his father built an altar in the spirit in that place called Bethel. But because his grandfather invested in that God, that God showed up for him. Your house will not show up for your grandchildren, but your faith in God will. God will remember them. I remember when I was coming to Australia many years ago, I didn't know anybody, but it was God who put him out, come. And that God showed up for me. And the kind of place I remember then, because of the way our society was, my parents did not want me to come. They're like, there's a job for you, this person. That, like, it was difficult. And they were calling me, are you sure you're not coming back home? Do you know that job is still available for you? I said, Daddy, I'm not coming back home. It was difficult, but I was foolish enough to trust God then. And that God showed up for me. Will you be foolish enough to trust God this morning? With your time, with your talent, with your giftings. We think money is important, and it is important to an extent, but it's not that important. Every time God is asking for your money, because he wants to get involved in your finance, he wants to help you. He wants to take that, just like that widow. Don't eat that little one and die. He wants to take it from you and multiply it. He wants to ensure that you don't die with the debtors. He wants to change your story. That's every time he's calling you, is a higher calling. Don't despise it. Don't despise your green pastures. If you remember, because of time, I won't read it. Genesis 41. Go and read Genesis. When the time for Joseph to be unveiled came, they had a problem in Egypt. The Bible says, Pharaoh asked for him, and Joseph was brought up quickly. He was brought out of the dungeon. We were told he was in prison. I do not know the time the prison became dungeon. Dungeon is underground. Like all those tunnels in those funny places that I won't mention. He was in those underground for doing nothing but standing for God. But when his day came, Pharaoh did not care about what led him to that pit. He didn't care about any of those. Just bring him out, and God helped him. So your green pasture may be that job you don't like. It may be that boss you don't like. It may be that family member you don't like. It may be that whatever situation. Is God that is ordering your step. Let's read on verse 3. He now says, he restores my soul. Why will he need to restore our soul? Because before you came to Christ, our soul is the seat of our intellect, will, emotion. Our soul has been bombarded with the Western education, the African education, whatever education you've had. Experiences have filled that soul. That if you are broke, you're going to go hungry. If you have $10, you're going to be evicted from that house. But God is saying that $10 is not what you need. It's favor you need. It is, I'm a minority. It does not matter. Greater is he that is in 1 John 4:4. Little children, you have overcome the world. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's what we're talking about here. I remember first time I got to Western Health, I didn't know nobody. I was going there as a very, very junior doctor. Interview. I just went there. It so happened. I was being interviewed by the head of surgery, not just one consultant. Big man, tall, intimidating. But I just went there. And for the man who had never seen me before, all of a sudden, it's as if he just took liking to me. Oh, you're a small boy. This and this and that. This and that. You would think I've known the man for years. It's called the favor of God. Where I could not get to, God went ahead of me. The rest is history. God can help you. You don't need connection. You need God. If you are with God, everything else will work out. He said, he restores my soul. This is talking about Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Because he needs to reprogram that soul. If you remember Romans 12, he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He has to renew that mind. When you allow him to cause it to lie down, he lives in green pasture. The next thing is, he will restore your soul back to what is meant to be. So you begin to think based on scriptures. You begin to think based on his words. And because your soul has now been renewed, what will happen? He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Self-righteousness does not work. He's the only one that can lead us in that way. That's why when you see unbelievers misbehaving, pardon them. They don't have the DNA to behave right. They don't have the ability to do it. It is not in them. He needs to lead you in the path of righteousness. It is when he has restored your soul that he cannot make you walk in righteousness. And then, verse 4, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Valley is a place that is lonely. It's a place that is cold. It's to show us that in life, life has seasons, up and down. Just like we have winter, summer, autumn, spring, everything. So also, a time will come, you find yourself in the valley, but it is the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow is an evidence that there's an original, but then the shadow of a dog cannot bite you. So don't be afraid of the shadow. It is just a shadow. It is just a shadow. But then he said, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Presence. We were talking about presence last week. When the presence of God is with you, Mrs. Potiphar may not like you. My question I have for us this morning is, why was it that day, when Potiphar was told about the saga that happened at home, why didn't Potiphar say, go and behead him? He was an outsider. He was a foreigner. He could have been killed. It won't matter. But somehow, mercy stood there and said, no, this boy is mine. Put him in that place. Put him in that place. He said, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. What is the rod and staff? The Holy Spirit. So when you find yourself in the valley of the shadow of death, what do? Remakaso telebo sikalebo. Remokos. Begin to pray in the spirit. Invite the one who is your comforter so that he can guide you. He can help you. He may look mumbo jumbo. He may look all messed up. But when you invite the Holy Spirit to the scenario, things will begin to change. Things will begin to adjust. So you see, you have to carry your God to the marketplace. Your God is not for church alone. Let your God follow you to the marketplace, and it will make a difference. He will comfort you. Verse 5, because of time. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I had understood this scripture very limitedly up until recently. I wonder, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I began to think about it. Why will you give food to me when my enemy is right there? What of if he steals the food? What of if he poisons the food? And then, God just showed me something. It is not like that. And then, you know, scripture has a way of interpreting scripture. Follow me. Psalm 3, verse 7. Psalm 3, verse 7. You will see why he did that. Psalm 3. Yes. He said, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Let's do a bit of anatomy here. In the human field, there's something called the temporomandibular joint. It is here. Here. If you want to open your mouth, if your TMJ is broken, you cannot dare do it. Even if it dislocates, it is extremely painful. So when God strikes the enemy on the cheekbone, their TMJ is dislocated and it's broken their teeth. So they can't eat, they can't talk. So God only called them there to come and witness, to come and observe. So there is food there, they can't eat it because their mouth cannot walk. They can't talk. So when he says, you prepare a table before me, you know, some of us, when you're hungry, just a single plate is okay, isn't it? You get your swallow and some other condiment and you are good to go. But God is saying, I will not just give you one plate. Because he's a God of Ephesians 3:20. He's a God of exceeding abundantly above. We were just looking for one building as a church. We're looking for a place you can lay our head. But God said, I've seen your cry. I've seen your prayer. I will show you the kind of God I am. And look at where we are now. We can spread left, right. We are parking. We don't have, you see, all those things. We have gallery. We have all those. Look, who are we? Where did this start from? It's because he's a God of Ephesians 3:20. So, when God prepares a table before you, a big table, there is entree, there is dessert, there is mains. And for some of us, we don't even know what the food is called. It's just like, what is all this problem? There's only one plate I want. But because our God is a God of abundance, he will give you more than you need. He will not call your enemy, come and watch it. They can't eat. They can't go away. And when that happens, all glory goes back to him. Goes back to him. Because he wants, that's why, stop wasting your time praying that your enemy will die. No, it's a waste of prayer. No, they will be alive to see. So they can change. They can know that I will follow you to that God. Remember, ultimately, when people misbehave, it is the spirit that is working in them. And more often than not, it is because, if I can use this word, they've been hacked by the enemy. It's just like same Peter that was following Jesus for so long, and yet Peter was speaking wrong. Like Jesus said, Satan, get it behind me, because Jesus understood that at that point, Satan had hacked his operating system. So he had to rebuke the enemy. So when you see that person misbehave, yes, they may be misbehaving, but it's because something has compromised the operating system. That's why they are misbehaving at that point. In medicine, you say they've been colonized. So something has happened. So those people are not your enemy. It is the Satan who has gained a foothold to walk through them. So stop praying that the woman that caused the road should this. The father, this. No, waste of prayer. Don't do that. God will invite them on that day. He will invite them to come and see you prosper, to come and see you do well, because he is your God. And then he said, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Over. It's not limited. It's not little bit. So when that's why, when you are willing to go through this process, a time will come. You'll be like, how did we get here? Look at mommy and daddy then. Kano. Maybe you did not know that church in Kano got burnt. Church that they sold property to build got burnt. And God did not stop the burning of the church. Couldn't have stopped it. But because he had this in mind, God does not forget. Sir, the church that got burned, was it as big as this place, sir? So you might be wondering, why didn't God allow that thing not to work? Because he has something better for you. You see, that he has taught us, every disappointment is an opportunity for a fresh appointment. Before I round up, I want us to go to Psalm 66. Psalm 66, verses 10 to 12, New King James. For you, capital U, that's God. Oh God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. The way silver is refined is not just washed with soap and water. It's furnace. It's hot, uncomfortable. So God is taking some of us through that. Verse 11. You brought us into the net. When you're in the net, you can't make giant strides. You are sort of slow. Everybody's speeding. You are just doing your kuchu, 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 kuchu. Your whole car. He brought us into the net. He now said, you laid afflictions on our backs. That doesn't sound fun. Verse 12, he said, you have caused men to ride over our heads. That doesn't sound palatable. Not on your foot. Even people step on you, you are already cursing them, fighting them, kicking them. He said, you have caused men to ride over our heads. They've taken advantage of, they've abused you, they've taken your right. He now said, we went through fire and through water. But you brought us out, the same you who started in the beginning, brought us out to reach fulfillment. I've come to announce to you today, it may look as if your feet is in the net. It may look as if you are going to the furnace. It may look as if men are taking advantage of you. Your head, your glory has been trampled upon. The marriage is not working. You've been abused. You've been intimidated. I've come to announce you, he's going to bring you out to reach fulfillment. He's going to bring you out to reach fulfillment. It may not look like it. I'll stop the way I started. You cannot afford to call your situation the way they are currently. Speak what you want to see. We've been taught about faith in Bible study. Speak what you want to see. We are speaking beings. A closed mouth is a closed destiny. Speak what you want to see. We have been taught. Not all of us are prophets, but we can be prophetic. Prophesy what you want to see. It may not look like it now, but just remember, there's a rich fulfillment that is around the corner for you. God bless you.